This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Money Movers provides investors with real-time analysis of the stories and the people attracting the attention of markets each day. I'm Carl Quintanilla.
And I'm Sarah Eisen. We'll cover the breaking news and numbers driving stocks and sectors, helping you make critical decisions. Plus, we'll speak with the CEOs, newsmakers, and political leaders playing a role in how your money is moving.
Listen to CNBC's Money Movers free on the Odyssey app.
And we need to talk to our buddy Mike Fisher in Dallas, Cowboys Insider. He's been coming to the team for a long time. Fish, what's going on, man? I know everybody's talking about how banged up this team is, and Mike and I were just watching something. We kind of want an injury update first and foremost because we are wondering who's going to be available Sunday. What do you know?
I would say that Micah Parsons is trending as a no. And that's been a while now with a serious high ankle sprain. He injured that against the Giants. What is that, a month ago now?
Right.
And so he's still in the rehab group trying to make his comeback. So I would not count on Micah Parsons. And obviously that's a big blow. A healthy Micah Parsons is as good a defensive player as there is in football. Deron Bland, who of course came from nowhere previous to this year and became one of the great playmakers in the game with all the pick sixes, the NFL record. He came off IR this week. His 21-day window was done, so he had to make the move to the roster. So he's on the 53-man roster, but he, like Micah, did not practice today, rehabbing the shoulder. And then a little bit of a stunner, Trayvon Diggs, very much in the news. Of course, it's the Cowboys. All of them seem to be in the news, sometimes not for justifiable reasons. He's got a calf that's bothering a little bit, and it probably was bothering him on Sunday night against San Francisco in the loss. And then, of course, everything was bothering him after that with the Twitter and the criticism of his play and these and all that silliness. Well,
you can't do what I do
either.
right. Wow.
Yeah. So he didn't work. If the Cowboys, who are 3-4 and struggling in so many ways, but they're struggling with on defense, especially with consistency and takeaways under Dan Quinn here, your old friend and ours, this was a takeaway machine, this team. And I don't know if there's a particular reason for it or if it's just a ball with 2 points. So sometimes it bounces funny. But Mike Zimmer, this is a bad takeaway team. Now, if you could put those three guys on the field, the outcome Sunday might be a little different. But right now, it looks like it'd be very difficult for the Cowboys to keep pace with the highly charged Falcons.
Fish, it just seems like Jerry was in such a weird spot with Dak Prescott. I mean, waiting all summer long, and then finally, right before the season starts, he gives him the loot. And then, from outside looking in, we all know that Dallas has got so many good players, but it seems like Dak just gets so tight in the big playoff games. How do you fix that?
Yeah, so let me, if I can, give me a little elbow room, and I'll explain part of the phenomenon here. They decided in February, and we started reporting in February. You can find us, by the way, at cowboyscountry.com, and I'm on YouTube at The Fish Report. We started talking about The Fish Report going, look at what they're doing contractually and look what they're not doing, and we started calling up the blow-it-up remodel. And now it's become really clear. This team, this organization, did not believe in investing in this group this year. And so we're going to sign the foundational guys, and CeeDee Lamb's foundational, and Micah Parsons will be foundational next year. And then they decided that Dak Prescott was foundational, and history will tell us whether that's right or not. Guys, of their 53 or so guys, they have 35 of them on one-year contracts.
Huh.
That's insane. The Eagles, for instance, have like less than half of that.
Right.
So when you say, well, they've got these good players, that they do, but they've also got a weird cloud hanging over their head. The entire coaching staff is on one-year contracts, either expiring or, in the case of Mike Zimmer, came here and just signed on 1 year, knowing full well what that means. You know, if you're if your boss went through the building and went to every single employee, every host, every producer, every secretary, every support staff, and said, you're all here for 1 year, and then we'll see. when things were going rough, when things get rough, and they do, isn't that when you start calling your wife? Or in the case of one of you guys, your wife and your girlfriend, you call your wife, you call your girlfriend, you call your agent, you call your realtor. Well, that's the kind of thing that's going to, you know, they're human. So when things get a little rough and things are a little rough around here, this bonding and this unity and this brotherhood starts to crumble. And it really is all a byproduct of the organization of the Jones family and Will McClay, the front office, deciding this team as presently constructed is not going to do it. And so we're not going to invest future assets in this team. It's why they're almost certainly won't make a trade. If you took this team right now and you said, give me Deontay Johnson, a wide receiver, give me Cam Robinson at offensive line, go get me a real running back and go get me a run-stopping defensive tackle, this team would all of a sudden be a lot better. But that would cost them a third and a fifth and a seventh and future cap room. They're not going to do any of those things. They are instead, quite possibly, on a positive note, going to go into about March 8th next year. And if they flip a couple switches here and there, they can have $100 million worth of cap room. Wow. That is the blow-it-up remodel.
Huh. Fish is the guest, guys. His name's Mike Fisher, Cowboys insider, a friend of the show in Dallas, giving us the 411 on the Cowboys as we go behind enemy lines. Fish, how can they be this bad, though, to your point about, hey, they do still have some good players? I thought the Zeke signing was a feel-good moment. We knew he couldn't play anymore. Rico Dowdle didn't scare anybody. Dalvin Cook activated. They still can't run the football. But then on top of that, they're giving up 28 a game. I mean, what is good? What should Falcon fans be saying, all right, here's what I'm going into Sunday fearing?
Yeah, I think historically, like Cowboys, Falcons, it seems like the Cowboys always score 40.
Right.
These Cowboys right now, it would take them a month against the Falcons to score 40. the way they're going. Now, that can all change. But one of the problems is they really have one weapon on offense. So this is CeeDee Lamb or bust. Mm-hmm. And he, of course, is spectacular. There's no question about that. But none of these running backs, you know, Dalvin Cook, with all due respect to his great career, would any team pick him up?
No.
Nope.
No.
Dalvin Cook's got nothing left.
Dalvin Cook's been on the practice squad here for 2 months. As you guys know, right. You can poach somebody off the practice squad. Mm-hmm. You can just take him. And nobody took him. So the league already said what it thought of Dalvin Cook.
Right.
Again, God bless him. Rico Dowdle is just a guy. Ezekiel Elliott now is reduced to, obviously, maybe not even that. Deuce Vaughn is another field. They got a lot of feel-good stories around here.
Right.
But they don't have a running back. I mean, they don't have the best running back here would barely have a chance to be the third best running back in Atlanta. The offensive line here, Zach Martin, obviously great future Hall of Famer, fading, and then they're in transition otherwise. So their second best weapon here is Jake Ferguson, who is a try-hard, he's been in a Pro Bowl, but he's a try-hard tight end.
Yep. Okay.
That's your second best weapon. On defense, it's glue and duct tape. I mean, they're really hurt, and they're not very good.
Oof.
And by the way, they cannot, for the life of them, stop the run. It doesn't matter. They can put 11 guys in the box. They just don't have the personnel to do it, starting with, and again, no, it's not his fault. He was drafted in the first round, but Mozzie Smith, the first-round pick from last year from Michigan, he doesn't fit. I'm not sure he fits in the sport, let alone in this defense.
Man, Fish is on fire today as our buddy Mike Fisher, Cowboys insider, joins us. By the way, the last time, and it looks like ESPN's reporting, it sounds like Micah Parsons is out, Carl and Fish.
Yes, please.
Last time he played against Kirk Cousins was November of 22, 4 solo tackles, 2 sacks, 3 quarterback hits. So, yeah, we don't need any of that. Hey, Fish, taking it back to the offseason, why didn't Jerry move on from McCarthy after that embarrassing playoff loss?
Uh-oh.
They really did. They really could have done Bill Belichick last year. That, but otherwise, to move on from Mike McCarthy and then do some interim thing, that wouldn't have made any sense. For me, knowing that Mike McCarthy was going to be lame duck and he's going to be dangled out there this entire time, I would have, if they're going to hire Bill Belichick a year from now, If they're going to hire him next February, I agree with you. They should have hired him last February. Now Bill, through FOBs, through friends of Bill, he has sent messages through the media friends and through his guy how much he'd like to coach here, and he could get along with Jerry. And Jerry just comes right out and says it. I'm good friends with Bill. They're not good friends. That's ridiculous. They're not good friends. But they have both laid the groundwork to come up with a marriage of a sort.
A reason.
But I'm in 100% agreement with you, with all due respect to McCarthy. What was gained by keeping him here? When you were looking in your own mirror saying, we're not going to be good. This team is going to make a coaching change. There's a 99%. I don't even know what the bar would have to be for Mike McCarthy to avoid that. And then the big thing, the big question is, do they do what they usually do here? They usually go off the Jones family tree, you know, get guys that they've been part of their development, or they go out and get the established retread, for lack of a better word, but the accomplished retread. Bill Belichick is a highly accomplished retread, except when you look at the last 4 years of what he did in New England. Right. And I know you guys studied this because he flirted with Atlanta last year.
Right.
He hadn't done anything in half a decade. And so, you know, does he want to rejuvenate what he was? Can he rejuvenate what he was? Is he going to put his goofy buddies as the offensive coordinator, or is he going to hire a real offensive coordinator?
Right.
Are the Cowboys going to go off their usual family tree versus Belichick, or will they explore guys that they don't have a relationship with and that don't have a track record? Ben Johnson, of course, the Lions offensive coordinator, he'll be a hot guy.
Yep.
The Cowboys traditionally don't end up looking at guys like that. And just like with free agency, there's just some things. You know, there's five avenues, obviously, to build your roster. There's five ways to go get players, and the Cowboys stubbornly simply won't use one of them, which is big money free agency. There's three ways to go find a head coach. The Cowboys stubbornly won't use one of them, which is to go try to find the next hot thing.
So, Fish, it sounds like Falcons 60, Cowboys nothing.
Well, what is it? Falcons favored by 3 or so, right?
Yeah.
Over-under is 51.
Go look this up.
Go
look this up. I don't have it in front of me. The Cowboys get outscored in third quarters this year, what to what? And so is this an indictment of the coaching staff that's not making the famous halftime adjustment? Is it they just run out of gas because whether it's emotion or talent or whatever? They get slaughtered in the third quarter, like every game. And then they make a valiant comeback at the end when the defenses are playing soft and letting them do whatever they want to. So no matter what the score is in the first half, the track record of the Cowboys now is the Falcons are going to outscore them 21-0 in the third quarter.
Because that's what happens. Wow. Last thing, real quick, before we let you go, always appreciate your time. Mike Fisher joining us here, Cowboys Insider.
Money Movers provides investors with real-time analysis of the stories and the people attracting the attention of markets each day. I'm Carl Quintanilla.
And I'm Sarah Eisen. We'll cover the breaking news and numbers driving stocks and sectors, helping you make critical decisions. Plus, we'll speak with the CEOs, newsmakers, and political leaders playing a role in how your money is moving.
Listen to CNBC's Money Movers free on the Odyssey app.
Dukes and Bell. So what took Jerry so long to pay Dak? If he knew all along he was going to do it, what took so long? We can't argue about the number. I said to Mike, 2 years from now, we'll be talking about somebody making 75 and Dak won't even be a question. But the fact that it took so long, why?
Yeah, is it weird that Dak Prescott's the highest paid player in the history of the sport? That seems a little weird.
It does.
I mean, he's a little short on accomplishments for that.
Right.
But you're right. Some days 60 is not good. Listen, Tua makes 53. I mean, they all make 53.
Right.
I don't think this is as big a deal as some do. What difference does it make whether he signs in August or July? Did it have an impact on everything? But this much is for sure. Dak Prescott won the negotiations. The Cowboys, you know, for all the smoke and all the mirrors and all the sound and all the fury, when it comes to big contracts with their guys, they lose every single time. In fact, to the point where Dak Prescott, once again, even has a no-trade clause in this contract.
Oof.
I haven't gotten around to find out why in the world would you give it? You've given him everything else, and you even give him that. Jerry Jones obviously has negotiated billion-dollar deals, and in some areas, you know, the three of us are morons compared to him. But he lost this negotiation with Dak Prescott. There's no question about it. And they're not losing games because of the contracts. That's not why they're losing games. But it does, all things combined, do kind of create a dark cloud hanging over the star right now.
This is the secret story of a young Russian oligarch who hacked his way to a $93 million fortune. I'm CNBC senior Washington correspondent Eamon Javers. In our new podcast, The Crimes of Putin's Traitor, I'll take you inside a shocking Russian crime targeting the American financial system. Attacks that sources tell me were welcomed by Vladimir Putin's government. Listen to CNBC's The Crimes of Putin's Traitor free on the Odyssey app.